40 years ago today, director Francis Ford Coppola's movie Apocalypse Now premiered in theaters. Set during the Vietnam War, the film centers on a group of U.S. soldiers on a mission to find and kill an American colonel who's gone rogue. Martin Sheen stars as Captain Willard, who leads the soldiers as they travel down a river into Cambodia.
When I was here, I wanted to be there. When I was there, all I could think of was getting back into the jungle.
Decades later, the film continues to shape the way younger generations think about and relate to the Vietnam War. And that's at least in part because Coppola has continued to tinker with his film, releasing an extended cut in 2001 and another re-edited version this week. Viet Thanh Nguyen, author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book The Sympathizer, saw Apocalypse Now for the first time when he was about 10 years old.
We had just gotten a VCR. That was really advanced technology in the early 1980s. And Apocalypse Now was probably the third or fourth movie I might have seen there. It was about the Vietnam War, which was an event that had shaped my life, brought me to the United States as a refugee in 1975, and I was deeply fascinated by it, so I was naturally drawn to the story.
But what stood out most to Viet about the film, beyond the spectacle of it all, was how it depicted Vietnamese people. Not at the center of the story, but on its margins.
We hadn't really been portrayed at all in American media that I had seen. And then all of a sudden, in this very powerful, scary, terrifying movie, there were Vietnamese people. But our place in the movie was deeply problematic. Seeing Vietnamese people being murdered on screen affected me very deeply, probably more than I even understood when I was 10 or 11. And it left a scar on me that I would start to really think about many years later.
I asked Viet how his understanding of the film began to change once he was old enough to process its violent imagery.
Well, the pivotal moment in Apocalypse Now comes halfway through the movie when the American sailors encounter a Vietnamese boat full of civilians and then inadvertently massacre them. And I remember just being shocked by that and then putting it away somewhere in the back of my mind and then talking about that scene a decade later in college to a classroom and finding myself overcome with emotion, shaking with rage and anger. And as a critic, I can understand what Coppola was doing in that scene. He wants to portray the horror of war. He wants to portray how dehumanized the American soldiers have become. And yet, it's also being done at the expense of Vietnamese people, Vietnamese bodies. And I think that was what was so terribly shocking and angering for me, is a sense that we were being seen as victims, but we were being seen only as victims. We would never get the opportunity to speak or to express our own histories, our own ideas, not even a glimpse of our humanity or our point of view was going to be shown in this movie.
Was that also a form of dehumanization for the Vietnamese characters in the film?
Absolutely. And I think that Americans and people who are not Vietnamese who watch these kinds of movies and read these kinds of books, and there have been many books about the Vietnam War from the American point of view, would see this and think this is actually a humanizing portrayal of the Vietnamese, because here the American soldiers are being shown as being doing something terrible and these poor Vietnamese people are the victims. But victimization is a kind of dehumanization too. We don't really see victims as humans. We might pity them, but we also objectify them. And what clearly happens in the case of Apocalypse Now is that we see the scene and the entire movie really from the American point of view. So even as the Americans are doing terrible things, we understand their complexity. We can sympathize with them. We understand the moral dilemmas that they're going through. And the Vietnamese people are simply silent bodies to be killed and to be disposed of for the American drama.
You have mentioned not just Apocalypse Now, but other American war movies, and you've called them a sort of cultural propaganda. What does that mean?
Well, what I mean by that is that Hollywood is the unofficial ministry of propaganda for the United States. Unlike the Chinese or the Soviets, we don't need an official ministry of propaganda. We don't have to dictate our ideology to people. Instead, Hollywood, I think, as liberal as it is, still nevertheless shares generally the values of capitalism, of American exceptionalism, of the military-industrial complex, and its movies advance these kinds of spectacles that even if they might ostensibly be anti-war, and that's very debatable with Apocalypse Now and all of these American war movies, even so, they portray the American point of view, they celebrate the American perspective, even from an anti-heroic way, and they make us identify with American perspectives. And they broadcast these American perspectives all over the world because the Hollywood industry is, just like the American military-industrial complex, a global one. And it's a form of soft power that gets the rest of the world to see history or stories or just entertainment from our point of view. And that's an enormously powerful form of propaganda.
Speaking of that type of propaganda, and at least that point of view, I want to read a quote here from Francis Ford Coppola from the premiere at Cannes of Apocalypse Now. And I'm quoting here, Coppola saying, "My film is not about Vietnam. It is Vietnam. The way we made it is the way Americans were in Vietnam. We had too much money, access to too much equipment, and little by little, we went insane." What's your reaction to that quote?
Well, it's a great quote for a writer or a critic to look at, and also for Coppola's own wife, who featured that pretty prominently in her documentary Hearts of Darkness about the making of Apocalypse Now. But, you know, I take it with some sympathy for Coppola. You know, he's a young man when he was making that movie and wrapped up in the drama of making the movie. But nevertheless, I think it does express this American solipsism that everything about Vietnam for Americans is about the Vietnam War. Like, these two terms, Vietnam and the Vietnam War, are indistinguishable. And the Vietnam War for Americans is an American war. It's their obsession. 3 million Vietnamese people might have died in the Vietnam War, but that's inconsequential compared to the 58,000 Americans who died and the dramas and the pain and all the suffering and so on that Americans underwent. And Coppola, in depicting that, also transforms the drama of the making of his movie into a version of that American egocentric experience as well. So it's a perfect expression, I think, of the American point of view about what Vietnam means to Americans.
You said you were a refugee from Vietnam because of the war. Do you have any recollections of what that experience was like and how that, have you ever seen anything that is even remotely accurately depicted the experience that you and your family had to suffer through?
Well, thankfully, I don't remember anything about the Vietnam War. And I say thankfully because I know a lot of people who do remember things about the Vietnam War and the horrors that Vietnamese people underwent, including my own family. And from our point of view, you know, our historical experiences were not about combat and things like that, but were about fleeing the war zone as refugees. And that is a terribly traumatic experience for many people, even if they weren't soldiers. And, you know, I think that for me, the number of versions of this historical experience are relatively rare to encounter, precisely because Vietnamese stories, whether they're books or movies, have been made about this war, but they rarely get exported out of Vietnam, or if they're made by Vietnamese Americans, they rarely get put into multiplexes and so on. But some very powerful ones in terms of movies are things like Journey from the Fall by the filmmaker Ham Tran, which is a pretty spectacular movie about the fall of Saigon and the refugee experience from a Vietnamese-American point of view. But to put this into perspective, that movie probably took in $1 million or $2 million in box office, even though it was actually a very, very powerful movie. Or probably the most celebrated movie about the war from a Vietnamese point of view is When the Tenth Month Comes by Dong Nhat Minh, who was Vietnam's premier revolutionary generation director, which was released in 1978, so roughly the same time as Apocalypse Now. And you see Apocalypse Now, it's a multicolor extravaganza that cost tens of millions of dollars. When the Tenth Month Comes, made at roughly the same time, a small, intimate, black and white movie that looks like it came out of the 1950s. And so these are the inequalities of memory that the Vietnamese people face.
Let's talk a little bit about the role of the director here in these films and the media that creates these films. You've written a book called The Sympathizer, where the main character becomes a consultant on a war movie that has echoes of Apocalypse Now. Tell me about what you were trying to capture in that work about how these films are made.
In one of my other books, I say that all wars are fought twice, the first time on the battlefield, the second time in memory. And certainly the way that Hollywood has treated the Vietnam War has been this second war in memory. From the 1970s through the early 2000s, Hollywood made dozens of movies about the Vietnam War, and it's still not finished. Spike Lee is going to make a movie. Michael Mann is making a movie about the Vietnam War. I'm sort of terrified about what they're going to do. But, you know, in these movies, they're really America's attempt to refight the war from an American perspective. And that was, you know, I grew up in the 1970s and 1980s watching many of these movies, and I don't recommend that exercise to anybody, especially if you're Vietnamese. And I was deeply traumatized by watching these highly repetitive portrayals of American masculine dramas at the expense of Vietnamese people. And so when I wrote The Sympathizer, I thought, now's my time to take revenge on Hollywood. And so there's a, you know, a whole section of the book which satirizes these American movies about the war. Apocalypse Now is not the only one. It's just, I think, probably the most famous or infamous one, and certainly one of the most powerful ones aesthetically. But really, the satirization is about the entire apparatus of how Americans have thought about Vietnam and how they have tried to win the war again in movies.
There are certain moments in American history that have become obsessions of filmmakers and documentarians and beyond. And Vietnam and the Vietnam War, I should say, has been one of them. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a number of reasons. I mean, as many people have said, the Vietnam War is the first war that Americans clearly lost. And the second one, I think, is that it was such an intimate war for Americans in ways that wars before and after have not been. So it's been famously referred to as the first television war or the first living room war because Americans could watch these images of the war every night in their own homes. And these images were very, very graphic and very vivid and very immediate. So events that happened could be seen the same day or the next day in the United States. And the preceding wars that the United States have gone through have had an insulating effect with the media that we didn't have that same kind of immediacy. And in the wars that have come afterwards, the United States government, the Pentagon, has learned its lesson. There was a lot of blame placed at the feet of the media for turning American public opinion against the war in Vietnam. So ever since, we've had very limited access to the images of war that the United States have fought. So the war in Vietnam remains very particular in the American imagination, both in terms of the way that it seems to have destroyed American ambitions and in the way that it's shown the effects of the war so graphically, so spectacularly, so vividly for Americans to see and to remember.
Another cultural piece here, at least from the American perspective, about the Vietnam War is Miss Saigon. You recently wrote about the musical in the New York Times. Tell me how your critique of Apocalypse Now compares to your critique of Miss Saigon.
Well, Miss Saigon's obviously a huge Broadway hit, and it stirs a lot of affection on the part of many viewers. And the typical response of viewers to Miss Saigon is to say, this is a beautiful love story about a Vietnamese prostitute who falls in love with an American soldier. They have a child together. He runs back to the United States. She's desperate to get her child out of the country. He comes back, and he's already married another American woman. So she gives up the child back to this American soldier, and then she kills herself. So many people interpret this as a great love story, possibly even a critique of what the United States did in Vietnam. But for me, it's a deeply problematic story because it repeats many of the same stereotypes that Westerners and Americans like to return to when it comes to Asians, particularly Asian women. It may or may not be a great love story, but the only place that Asians or Asian women can occupy in this Western imagination is to be the ones that die. So yes, in Miss Saigon, there is more subjectivity given to the Vietnamese prostitute, certainly more than in Apocalypse Now. She gets lines, you know, she gets to sing songs and so on, but she's going to die. And the only way that Americans can imagine salvation, or Westerners can imagine salvation, is to be rescued and sent to the United States. So these are deeply held tropes, ideas, stories in the American or Western imagination that Americans have a hard time giving up. And when people like me criticize them, people get very, very sensitive.
We're on the anniversary of Apocalypse Now, and it's being rescreened in theaters around the country. How should or should people watch the film? And if so, how should they do so?
Well, first, I think Apocalypse Now is a great work of art. I actually enjoy watching it. I teach it every time I teach my class on the Vietnam War. And it's also a racist work of art. And there is no contradiction necessarily between these two things. Coppola drew a lot of inspiration from Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. And Chinua Achebe, the great Nigerian novelist who wrote Things Fall Apart, wrote a very powerful essay criticizing Heart of Darkness for being a very racist novel. Now, it's possible to imagine that Heart of Darkness is a great novel, and yet its depiction of Africans is also racist. And I think that's exactly what happens in Apocalypse Now. I'm not taking away anything from its aesthetic accomplishments. I'm not taking away anything from its depiction of the American psyche or American character. But that drama is based on the erasure and the exploitation and silencing of Vietnamese people. And so I hope audience goers are aware of this kind of complexity when they watch Apocalypse Now. I hope they don't simply go there and walk away enjoying the spectacle, because people do enjoy the spectacle, and not think about how important the erasure of Vietnamese people is to the centering of American experience.
Viet Thanh Nguyen is the author of The Sympathizer and The Refugees. Viet, thank you so much for your insights and for your time.
Thanks for having me, Tanzina.